Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is Dr. Andrew Fleck. Dr. Fleck is with the English Department. Andy, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk to you and to the audience.
So first of all, before we carry on, this is the start of your fifth year. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I went to Arizona State University as an undergrad. So I like the desert Southwest. I did my graduate work in California at the Claremont Graduate University. And I taught at a university called San Jose State University in the Bay Area for about 15 years. And I came to UTEP in 2015. And my areas of expertise are early modern English literature, so Shakespeare and Milton and their contemporaries. And I teach a broad range of courses beyond that.
Have you always been interested in literature since you were a kid?
Yeah, I had really outstanding secondary teachers in English. It's one of the things that I really love about the teaching that we do is that we teach so many of the people who go on to teach English literature in the high schools and so on. But yeah, I had really fantastic high school teachers. I had a couple of really great professors in college, and so I knew I was going to go on in that field. So it's strange, Shakespeare. I was talking about this in I teach a graduate seminar, and I was talking about this last night. Shakespeare has this cachet, right? So people know something about Shakespeare. Of all the sort of authors in English literature, if you sort of talk to a person on the street, the author most likely to remember is Shakespeare. But, you know, people have had sort of different kinds of experiences of Shakespeare. You tell someone, oh, I teach Shakespeare, and they say, oh, gosh, I had this terrible Shakespeare teacher in high school or something like that. And so I try to make them feel a little bit more at ease about it and introduce them to Shakespeare. I think Shakespeare is a really fantastic author who's got lots of really interesting things to say, even to us today. So, yeah, I mean, I always encourage students and just regular people to pick up Shakespeare if you can. There are Shakespeare reading clubs and that kind of thing all around.
Some of the people, as you mentioned, in high school, perhaps the only Shakespeare they may have been introduced to is Romeo and Juliet.
Sure. Yeah. Right. I mean, that is the most popular text for teaching Shakespeare in high school. And it's a great text. It's got all kinds of really interesting complexity to it. And I mean, one of the things that's really wonderful about the chance to encounter Romeo and Juliet in college or in graduate school, for that matter, is that typically in high school, teachers have so much that they have to get through that they can only kind of barely scratch the surface with Romeo and Juliet. So when a student takes a college Shakespeare class, they'll get another chance to look at Romeo and Juliet and maybe see it in a different light, get more out of it, dig a little deeper. And then when I've taught graduate seminars on Shakespeare, man, you can really dig into some of the really kind of nitty-gritty issues on Romeo and Juliet and pick up a lot out from it. So, of course, that's the most popular text, I think, people are going to encounter of Shakespeare's. But there are lots of other really amazing plays to talk about. So
we are visiting with UTEP English professor, Dr. Andrew Fleck. Andy, language is perhaps one of the things that holds people back as far as reading Shakespeare, because they'll say, I don't understand that early English. And some people say the same thing about even the Bible. The King James is very different.
Yeah. I mean, language changes over time. And I mean, one thing to sort of realize is that we all talk in different kinds of styles. I mean, so even today, a political address is going to sort of work in one kind of register of language, and a conversation with your friends over coffee or a beer is going to be at a different level. And then if you're texting online or something like that, your language goes to a different register as well. So we have to recognize that when Shakespeare's writing, I mean, he's got text that is intentionally elevated. With a little bit of practice, you can get around to kind of become more familiar, become more comfortable with that language. It's always going to be a little bit strange because, I mean, it is 400 years old. The references are not the same references. He might reference something biblical or something classical. And with just a little bit of training, you can kind of start to recognize what those references are to.
And even though it is 400 years old, there are still quite a few references made to Shakespeare, whether it be in a novel, the beginning, or on a TV show, classic crime, all that stuff. They'll talk about it.
Sure. Shakespeare's a kind of a shorthand for people, right? And so, I mean, people know certain kinds of plot outlines from Shakespeare. Lady Macbeth and Macbeth, right, as the kind of the woman who might be kind of scheming behind the scenes. And so some politician might refer to some other politician as, you know, a Macbeth figure. Hamlet as the hero who takes a long time to make up his mind about what he's going to do. Well, you know, those are kind of archetypes that we can kind of refer to in a real sort of shorthand. And then, of course, there are famous lines of Shakespeare that show up all the time in political discourse and popular discourse. And then even then, there's the attempt to kind of reimagine Shakespeare, right? So there are modern adaptations of Shakespeare all the time. I've taught a course on Shakespeare on film, which looks at the idea of modern adaptations that take their inspiration from this or that Shakespeare comedy or tragedy.
What would you recommend, Andy, as far as being easy to read it and not have to look up every other word?
Yeah. So I think one of my favorite plays, and it does take a little bit, you have to kind of get yourself in the right mindset for it. But once you're willing to kind of accept a couple of givens, I think one of the kind of most accessible plays is Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. Now, the difficulty, the thing that you have to kind of get over in Twelfth Night is that the main character, the protagonist, is a woman who decides, a young woman who decides to dress as a young man. But once you can sort of get over the idea that, you know, a good disguise might actually make it possible for someone to be mistaken for somebody of the opposite sex, that the Twelfth Night is actually a really amazing play. I mean, it's got a really interesting love triangle right at the center of it. It's got a bunch of really kind of funny attempts to pull the wool over the eyes of a kind of an arrogant, self-aggrandizing individual who has to be taken down a couple of pegs. I mean, I think that that's actually just a funny play. And there have been some modern adaptations on film of that aren't necessarily specifically evoking Shakespeare, but which are pretty clearly drawing on Shakespeare's plot for that.
We're visiting with Professor Andrew Fleck. He's an English professor here at UTEP, and he is also the director of the Honors Program here on campus. And this is something, Andy, that is relatively new to you as far as that title.
I've just taken on this role as of basically over the summer. So the program's called the Liberal Arts Honors Program. We actually have a website, and if you just look up UTEP and LAHP, you'll get to our website right away. So the university has had a number of honors programs on campus. We used to have a university honors program, and that seems to be being transitioned into something else. But the Liberal Arts Honors Program is for students in the College of Liberal Arts. And it's really an amazing program with lots of opportunities, and we'd like to try to get the word out and get more people to apply for the program.
What are some of the things that they need to have as far as prerequisites?
So this is one of the problems of the obstacles we've run into in kind of communicating this is you actually have to have completed a year at UTEP, or if you're a transfer student, you have to have completed a semester at UTEP. And so I think a lot of students come to campus and they're excited and charged up about finding academic opportunities. And then they find out that they actually need to have a track record, a year-long track record at UTEP before they can apply for the program. And then maybe they forget about it or they don't hear about it again and that kind of thing. So anyway, our ideal student would be a student who is in his or her second year at UTEP, who has a 3.5 GPA and is making progress towards a major in the College of Liberal Arts. If that describes you, please consider applying. You can very easily apply for the program. It's basically a 3.5 GPA, a very brief essay, and listing off two professors who would serve as references and say that that you're a high achieving, academically excellent student who would benefit from being in the honors program.
So once they enroll in the program, what are some of the things that they will be required to do?
So the program itself is a minor, and so this is another really nice facet of the Liberal Arts Honors Program is when you get to the end, assuming you complete all the requirements, you've in addition to your major, which might be sociology or communications or literature or psychology, you'll have a minor in the LAHP. So the minor is we have a list of classes that you take as basically part of your block electives for your regular major. But as long as you take specific classes that are listed in our program, you can start knocking off the requirements for the minor. There are two methodologies classes that we offer, and you have to take them in two different semesters. So this is one of the reasons why we want to try to get students to apply earlier in their careers instead of waiting until they're, say, a junior or a senior, and they might find it difficult to kind of plug pieces into their program. These two classes really encourage the student to dig down deep and get more out of what they've been doing as a student, really question, like, what are we doing here? What is our academic enterprise together? And then their final academic component is the students undertake an independent research project. They work really closely with a mentor in their major, and they do a little bit of independent research, and then they present those findings at a showcase that we have at the end of every semester just before graduation. And again, that showcase is open to the public. So if you are interested in what our high-achieving students at UTEP are doing, in the College of Liberal Arts, I'd encourage you to keep an eye out for that showcase and feel free to come by and hear some of the great work that our students are doing.
We're visiting with Professor Dr. Andrew Fleck. Dr. Fleck is a professor in the English department. He is also the director of the Honors Program here on campus. You mentioned at the beginning of the interview that you also teach a graduate seminar. And with that in mind, is the Honors Program also available to graduate students?
It's not. It's an undergraduate program, and I'm not sure if there are honors opportunities available for graduate students. I think that's a really an interesting idea that we ought to do some exploration of. But as far as I know, there is not a specifically honors designated program for graduate students.
We had discussed this before, you and I, that we're going to bring you back in October because you've been working on something with another student and community college. If you wouldn't mind kind of sharing with us a little bit of it.
Sure thing. So the UTEP has received a grant a couple of years ago from the Mellon Foundation to create something called the UTEP EPCC Humanities Collaborative. And it's a I'm not an expert in it. I'm just a participant in it. But it's a program to try to find ways for students to have more meaningful and essentially UTEP Edge kinds of experiences. And it's funded in part by an independent agency, the Mellon Foundation. The specific thing that I'm doing is I'm working with so students apply to be in the program and then faculty apply to be faculty mentors for the program. And so what we do is we pair up with an undergraduate and we undertake an independent research project. So my project is that the undergraduate that I'm working with, we're working on building a new open access digital humanities database, which is called paratexts in early modern English verse. But these paratexts are little tiny poems that usually appear in front of other books. And strangely, you see these little poems in all kinds of places, including in all the many of the scientific discoveries of the early modern period. And so this student and I were focusing on looking at books that report scientific discoveries in the 1600s, essentially. And there's a really interesting astronomical event that's coming up in just a couple of months, something called a transit of Mercury. The very first transit of Mercury was observed in 1631. And so we're putting together a number of kind of public programs around the idea of the transit of Mercury. We'll be having a NASA scientist, Dr. Renee Weber, is going to Skype in, and she's going to talk a little bit about the concept of a transit of Mercury and what's important about those from a kind of galaxy-wide sort of perspective. And my student and I are going to be talking about the historical event around the attempt to observe that first transit of Mercury in November 1631.
And is there going to be any kind of I know you mentioned earlier about a showcase and something else going on, but can people go to either a webpage or somewhere here on campus or at El Paso Community College to perhaps see a display or maybe some information about it?
Sure. So I've written a blog post. The UTEP EPCC Humanities Collaborative has this, a blog, or they have a website with a blog on it where they post information. And so there'll be a blog post that I'm expecting is going to get posted any day now. And that'll have some general information about it. And then we're going to have an event on campus on November the 4th, I think. We're still working on finalizing the particulars of that. But on November the 4th, we anticipate having this Skype call in from Dr. Weber at the NASA Observatory in Alabama, and to sort of talk about it and to set things up with, you know, how you can observe the transit of Mercury if you want to. Of course, as just a reminder, never look directly at the sun. But we're going to try to find some ways to pair up with people who have telescopes that might be equipped in the right way so individuals can watch this this transit. It'll happen basically at sunrise on November the 11th, 2019.
We touched on a lot of topics here in just a few minutes. Andy, if there's something that we said, perhaps did people want to find out a little bit more of the details? Do you have a web page or is there a Facebook page that people can go to find out more about all this, Andy?
Well, probably the easiest way to find out more information would be just to send me an email. I'm very happy to hear from you at ajfleck at utep.edu. The Liberal Arts Honors Program has its own web page, and so you could certainly click on the Liberal Arts Honors Program page if you have information, if you're interested in applying for the Liberal Arts Honors Program or just want to get more information about that that program. You can look at I'm sorry I don't have the website for the Humanities Collaborative's website, but I think if you just type in UTEP EPCC Humanities Collaborative, you should be able to find that website fairly easily, and that'll have information about the events around the transit of Mercury. And then I suppose you could drop into my Shakespeare class anytime you want to. I'd love to talk about Shakespeare with anybody who's interested.
And what time is that class?
So in the one in the spring, I'm not teaching a Shakespeare class this semester, but in the spring I'll be teaching it on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 o'clock to 10:30 over in Hudspeth Hall.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
We've been visiting with Professor Dr. Andrew Fleck. Dr. Fleck is the director of the Honors Program here on campus. If you need additional information, you can send him an email, It's A.G. Fleck, F-L-E-C-K, at utep.edu, or you can also Google Liberal Arts Honors Program and find out more about that as well. Again, Andy, thank you for being with us.
Sure thing. Thanks.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our producer is Dee Wu. Our thanks to our engineer, Sam Cassiano. We had help from Chris Williams. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.